Well, next, the cost of dental care. A dentist responds to a survey showing many New Zealanders skip dental treatment because of the cost. The Fairfax newspaper poll showed 64% of respondents delayed going to the dentist due to the cost of treatments. Young adults were the worst affected, with those with young children putting priorities, such as supporting their families, in their words, ahead of their own dental health. In 2010, a Health Ministry oral health survey identified cost as a significant problem for 25 to 34-year-olds. Most of them, nearly 60%, knew they needed dental care, but two-thirds of those had not seen a dentist because of the cost. Our next guest is an Auckland dentist and dental educator, Dr. Andrea Shepperson. She responds by saying she's shocked by people's attitudes to looking after their teeth and argues that it often costs much more to delay dental treatment than to act early. Yet people continue to see dental treatment as a discretionary expense, one not vital to their future well-being, or perhaps their present well-being. Anyway, Dr. Shepperson says it's time for us to look after our teeth. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine.
You're playing with fire, aren't you? These are tough economic times, and many people are going to be muttering about the cost of the fees of dental treatment and the incomes of dentists right now.
Yes, I agree that it's a politically sensitive issue. I felt, in response to the article, that it was a conversation the country really needed to have on a number of levels. We look at the cost of dentistry, and my response was that actually the bill you get at the dentist is a true reflection of the cost of delivering healthcare, and healthcare in itself is expensive. The nation currently has expenditure on health sitting at around $14 billion a year, and our OECD report produced in 2009 on the state of New Zealand's healthcare estimates that figure is going to double as a percentage of GDP between now and 2026. So to some degree, we get comparisons between the cost of dentistry and the cost of going to the doctor. In actual fact, the delivery of medical care, healthcare in general, is costing the nation a fortune. And it's not something that we're going to be able to sustain at the current levels.
Well, hang on, what public funding goes in now? There's quite extensive public funding involved in children's dental care up
yes,
to the age of 18, right?
There is. And we have a safety net. I agree that if you're on a low income or you're a young family, then accessing dental care may be difficult. But I think it's important to take a look at the safety net that actually exists at the moment. First of all, we have free care for all children up to the age of 18. Now, the uptake
can
of
I stop,
that care,
Can I stop you there? Does that also include more extensive work, fitting of braces or more extensive surgery being involved?
No,
okay, so this is for your basic care.
Yeah, this is for basic preventative care. And the philosophy is that if you can take a child, you know, from the age of 6 months, when most children are getting their first teeth, through to the age of 18, and provide a preventative service that is focused on counteracting dental disease. And we know that these days, pretty much all dental disease is preventable. We can give those children a fantastic start to life. They should be able to emerge at the age of 18 without significant dental needs and be classified as dentally fit, effectively.
And then what happens? Because if you look at this survey, the 25 to 34-year-olds are saying it costs too much. Once you are adult, once you are paying your way to go and see the dentist, how much does it cost just to get a basic checkup?
Well, let's put that cost into context. It costs around about $45 a month if we extrapolate it out over a year, which equates to about half the cost of a cup of coffee a day to access a dental hygienist twice a year and see a dentist once a year for a dental examination.
So what's that extrapolated? Bring it back to the total cost. What would that be for?
That's around $500-$600 a year.
Do you see, that is a lot of money to someone who is banked up with a student loan, trying one day hopefully to get a house or has a young family. It's not an insignificant sum. And can I ask you, do you need to go that often at that age?
Yes, you do. In fact, students at that age, that age group between 18 and 25, is extremely vulnerable. And my office is located quite close to Auckland University, so we see a steady flow of students, and we offer actually special pricing for students to make dentistry more accessible to them. And what we find is what we've classified in our office and fondly termed university teeth. So what happens is the kids come out of school, parents go, well, you know, I'll support you with your university fees, or maybe they have student loans, and they go, dentistry isn't something I'm going to prioritise in my expenditure. You know, and I can equate the annual cost of dental prevention to a cup of coffee, but I can also equate it to, you know, a six-pack of RTDs that you might buy and consume on a Friday or a Saturday night, or the cost of going to a bar in Queen Street and having a drink.
It's cute to do that. You know, I'm sure we can forgive young people for wanting to do that. But, I mean, here's the example of the family who responded in the article, in the Sunday Star Times article, and they said, look, going to the hygienist, they kept calling me, they said eventually I'd come in for a check-up, spent a lot of time cleaning my teeth and making sure I knew how to floss. Mm-hmm. I had no idea how long I'd been in there until I went out and they wanted to charge me $100. At that time, it was close to what we were paying for groceries each week, and this was a young family with young children.
Yep.
It's not, I know what you can say about averaging it out and comparing it to other discretionary activities, but that's not an insignificant sum to that young family.
I don't know the circumstances of that family, and you know, they can cite what they're spending on groceries. I don't know what they're spending on other things. I'm not privy to that information, and so, you know, it is hard to make that analysis. All I'm saying is that the cost of prevention is something that New Zealanders need to prioritise. And we know that prevention and intervention in dental disease is something that is going to be much more cost-effective and fiscally prudent than the cost of dealing with disease after the effect. For the surgical model is expensive and costly.
What does happen? Because you'll hear stories of people who will go absolutely years, if not decades, without going to see a dentist and not have problems. What is the sort of pathology that you're endeavouring to prevent with such regular, what would be by many people's standards, regular checkups with an annual checkup?
Right. Well, it was the 21st century dental checkup looks quite different to what it was 20 years ago, say, because we have so much more scientific information about the nature of dental disease. So let me give you an example. In my office, my preventive focus is on a risk management strategy. So if you come into my office, I'm going to run you through a raft of assessments that will determine your risk of dental disease, highlight those things to you, and we've labelled this the dental fingerprint analysis in our office. So increasingly, we've got knowledge and tests, actually, point-of-care devices now and in the future that will allow us to take a patient and say, you have the wrong bacteria growing in your mouth, you have a dominance of those bacteria, and right now I can do a one-minute test using bioluminescent technology that allows me to take a sample of the bacteria and say to a patient, you're high risk for decay and your brother might not be. So in families anecdotally will say, I'm always brushing my teeth, I look after my teeth really well, I have a great diet, I go to the dentist, I'm always having something to do, whereas my brother never brushes his teeth, he's lazy, and he never seems to get a filling. And now we know that the mouth has a biofilm, a layer of bacteria that sit there. There are about 30 different varieties in the mouth, and they work in combination, and sometimes we'll get a dominance of bad bacteria in that patient's mouth that will predispose them to decay.
So if you do that test, how much does that cost to get done, by the way?
It costs $34.
Okay, right? if you do $34 once, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you do that test and you don't have such bad bacteria, would you be more relaxed about someone only coming once every 3 years?
Absolutely.
Right.
The risk management strategies will dictate the regularity of care. So the woman who said, you know, I paid $100 to be told that my mouth was fine, should actually be celebrating. That was good value. Hopefully she got the information that said, you know, if you contain these environmental impacts on your mouth, and this is part of the reason that we're seeing that sector from 18 to 25 coming through with significant health needs, is that the environmental pressures, so that will be acidity in the diet and sugar in the diet, are having a huge impact, caffeine also.
It's a very interesting point you raise, because we worry about what we're eating presently and too much sugar in the diet and all this kind of thing. And are you telling me that there is a generation coming through, and not just a cohort coming through and not just a percentage of that group, who have got significantly worse teeth than you would have expected for modern times?
I'm seeing it across the board. Actually, it's not just confined to that sector. I'm seeing the impact of food acids and low pH drinks particularly that we're consuming. And that covers the spectrum of soft drinks, so the Coca-Colas and the Sprites and so on, the RTDs that kids tend to drink when they go to parties, through to herbal teas, to wine, to fruit juices, right across the spectrum.
Okay. Again, are you seeing people who are turning up with decay, whereas many others might be quite happily trotting on for years and years and years without seeing a dentist and actually not suffering any great harm?
Yes, potentially. If the oral environment is tipped towards health, that is, you have a dominance of healthy bacteria and you're eating and drinking the right things, you might be able to get away with it from a point of view of decay. Periodontal disease or gum disease is a different sector, and so different bacteria cause gum disease. So they're quite separate entities, and when we're evaluating somebody's risk, we'll be taking a look at those risk factors separately.
Someone turns up, don't they, when they've got tooth decay or they need a filling, or one of the fillings they had their mouth filled with as kids, mm-hmm. they're a certain generation, has fallen out. That's when they turn up, isn't it? And that's when the repairs get done, and either you've got signs of a serious problem or an isolated one.
Absolutely. And if you've got active decay, it's a sign of a problem. So, you know, often an emergency is the point at which somebody will seek care again.
And again, we're trying to find out, when people are trying to budget, how much they actually need to go, or is that trigger not sufficient to say, look, yes, you have a problem with this tooth, or actually you're going to have wider problems?
Well, how much they need to go should actually be determined when they go for the dental examination, and that should be a discussion that the dentist is having with them based on risk. So I've got patients who might see the hygienist every 3 months because the risk of periodontal disease is quite high. I've got some patients, many of my patients, because we've managed decay with good risk management strategies and treatments to counteract it, that only see me once a year or sometimes once every 18 months. And I've been applying this philosophy for quite a number of years, and I can sit and look at my established database of patients, and very few of them actually get decay. If I sit and look at the tooth loss we get across that spectrum over a 20-year period, I can probably count it on two hands.
You talk about the cost of all this, and are you saying, you know, hand on heart, that what is charged is absolutely fair for the costs of equipment? Or in some cases, have we got such flash equipment these days that is a factor in the cost?
Yes, and I think as we get to the, you know, point of care diagnostics in the future, we might see some of those costs rise because that developing technology obviously is very costly. People choose the level at which they purchase a service. So some people, you know, will make a choice to go to a dentist who has slightly lower fees, and that will be reflective of the fact that perhaps they haven't invested in the technology.
Are you saying most of us are what? Slack, we scrimp on this, and we scrimp on this at our peril? Or I wonder really whether what people do is determined pretty much by the situation they are in. If they've got bad teeth and lots of trouble, most who can will go and get it dealt to.
Yes, I would probably agree with that. What I would like to think is that I can play a part in shifting that attitude. You know, that the fiscally prudent approach is actually prevention, and in the long term, it saves you money and it's going to save you your teeth.
So that's to the two-thirds who don't go, even though they probably should. Thank you for your time, Andrea Shepperson. Dr. Shepperson is an Auckland dentist and dental educator.